How many of you guys come from a messed up family? Raise your hand. Now, how many of you guys come from a messed up family? All of you should raise your hand. You really do. You know, I would say I don't come from a messed up family, other than my dad being extremely passive, my mother being extremely overprotective. I don't really have a messed up family, but when you look back at our family, spiritual family, biblical family, we come from a messed up family. Extremely messed up family. The people that are in the Bible who people say, you know, I heard it, I think 2 weeks ago, that this was the European white man religious book or something like that. I don't know the word they use, but this is not a book about perfect people. Our forefathers, our the fathers of the church, were not perfect people. Amen. Not at all. Amen. The people that we look up to as the fathers of our religion, they're not perfect people. Not in the least. They're messed up. Their families were messed up. Very messed up. That's what we're going to talk about. So in your life, if your families were messed up, you're normal. Normal. It's normal. Completely normal. The first messed up thing about people in the Bible is Cain and Abel. That's the first messed up thing. Brothers. Bro. Messed up. Genesis 4. Verse 7. Lord says to Cain here, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? You don't do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desires for you, but you must master it. And Cain told Abel, his brother. Cain told Abel about what God had told him. Like, I'm having these feelings of jealousy about this offering deal. He told it to his brother. And it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. He told him. And then he still killed him. That is messed up. How can you say to your brother, hey, I'm having these feelings that you know, your ride is better than my ride, and then still kill them? Or your house is better than my house, your wife is prettier than my wife, still kill them? That's messed up. It seems pretty bad compared to some of the stuff in our lives. Then going on, Genesis 4:19. This guy named Lamech says he took for himself two wives. That's messed up. We talked about that earlier. But that's the first polygamous guy, Lamech. Two wives? That's pretty messed up. And if you don't think that that's going to cause problems in a family, you mean we come from polygamous people? Yeah. So your family problems? No, it's not that big a deal. What about the next one? Genesis 9:19. This is pretty cool. It says these were sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. Three sons, I have three sons. From three sons, the whole earth was populated. Now, we were talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago, and we were saying, hey, can we look at the three ways that people look? Like, you got black people, white people, and kind of yellow-looking people. Is that the three sons, you know? Is that, can we put them in a box? Is that how that people look this way? Is it from these three sons? You know, is that the way it come? But it says, from these three sons came everybody on the earth. So if you want to say that you're not of this family, then how do you get around that verse right there? You can't. Everybody came from one of those three. Everybody. So we're all related, right? All of us. Verse 20. Then Noah, you know that guy, began farming and planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk. And uncovered himself inside the tent. You ever heard that song, Tequila Makes Your Clothes Fall Off? You ever heard of it? Where'd they get that idea? Huh? You heard that? I mean, it's some kind of country redneck song, Tequila Makes Your Clothes Fall Off. It came from right here. Wine makes your clothes fall off. Get drunk and naked.
Drink too much.
Uh-huh. Look here. He drank of the wine, became drunk, and uncovered himself inside the tent. Getting drunk will make you do crazy stuff. This is Noah, the guy that what? God found the righteous guy to save out of everybody on the planet. Everybody on the planet. And he's drunk and naked. This is your great grandfather. Yours, Charles. Mine too. Drunk and naked. Okay. Verse 22. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. So one of them saw him. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were turned away, so they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine, he knew that what his youngest son had done to him, and he said, "Cursed be Canaan." He cursed his own son for coming in while he was drunk? He gets drunk, he gets naked, somebody just happens to come in who's his own son, then he curses his own son.
That's not a good parent.
That is messed up. And that's your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Let's go on. And he was the one that was saved from all the people on the earth. Genesis chapter 19, verse 31. Good old Lot. Lot saved from Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. One most righteous, doesn't it say? He's the most righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. What's he do? Verse 30, let's see, 19:5. These angels are out there, and they've come in with Lot, and all these people of Sodom and Gomorrah are beating on Lot's door. Verse 5, and they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them." But Lot went out to to them at the doorway and shut the door behind them and said, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now, behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with man. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them whatever you like." Hey, there's some strangers here, but you can't have them. Take my daughters. I'm the most righteous man in Sodom and Gomorrah. Is that messed up? Or what? How do you feel about yourself? You feel pretty good about yourself? You feel pretty righteous now? You know, there's a reason why people go to scary movies, right? Why they go to scary movies? They leave feeling great. Why? Because they're not dead. And everybody in the movie's dead. When you read this stuff, you feel pretty good about yourself because you ain't giving your daughters to the crowd. You ain't getting drunk and naked, I hope. It goes on. Abraham plays favorites with Isaac and Ishmael. We talked about that earlier, don't he? This is Abraham. He plays favorites with his children. He sends Ishmael and his mom off. Just off. This is Abraham. You know, everybody says Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the Abraham guy. Then guess what? Isaac plays favorites with Jacob and Esau. Does he not? These are our guys. Then Joseph gets thrown down a well and left for dead. And then his brothers come back and sell him into slavery. And then when he's the guy, Pharaoh's right hand guy, what's he do? He plays tricks on his brothers, sets them up, puts the marijuana in the car and then calls the police. I'm serious. He hides some stuff on a donkey or something. Well, is that messed up or what? These are the people of the book. These are God's chosen people, and this is how they act. I'm feeling pretty good about the way I live right now. And should we talk about Moses? He was messed up too. Moses had a wife, Zipporah. Here in Exodus 4:25, you know, Moses wouldn't even circumcise his own son. And he gets in a fight with his wife over it. And she says, "If you're not going to do it, I'm going to." And she takes a knife out of flint here in Exodus 4:25. She takes a flint, cuts off the foreskin of her son, and throws it at Moses. And then says mean stuff to them. Family conflict there. They're pretty messed up throwing foreskins around. That's messed up. Some bad family relations there. I've never done that to Tammy. She'd never done it to me. Then, going to 2 Samuel 11, skipping on, there's so many examples of this, you could talk forever. 2 Samuel 11, 2, good old King David says he was out, he got up out of bed, and he was walking around on the roof. And he saw a woman taking a bath And the woman was very beautiful. And he asked, who is that? And her name was Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And he, verse 4, sent messengers, and they took her. And when she came to him, he laid with her. Now, he had already been told she's somebody else's wife. He is an adulterer at this point. Now, this is David, and I mean, he's one of the most highly regarded people in the Bible. In fact, Yeshua is referred to as the son of David in some portions, is he not? And then, if you want to talk even more messed up, skipping down to verse 14 here in chapter 11, David writes a letter. It says, now in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it in the hand of Uriah, and he had written in the letter saying, place Uriah in front of the fiercest battle and withdraw from him that he may be struck down and die. So send this guy, the husband of Bathsheba, send him to the front line where it's the worst thing, and then all you guys run back and leave him standing there. That's pretty brutal. That is really messed up. Not only did he take his wife, he killed him, and guess what? That's what happened. That is messed up. In pharmacy school, they taught us three S's. Stand up, speak up, shut up. That's what I'm going to do. Anyway, if God can use these people, then he can use you. And no matter what kind of upbringing you had, I can pretty much guarantee it wasn't as bad as some of these things. And I do not think there is anything in your life that you've done that was quite as bad as some of these things. And these were some of the most loved by God people. I mean, they are talked of as God's chosen people, and they are spoke of as God. I mean, they love God, and God loved them. And if God can love these people, he loves you. So don't ever think that you're not worthy. And don't ever think that you come from a family that's so messed up that you can't, you're far from God, because you're not. Strange and peculiar, yes, you are. And I am too. But messed up, maybe not that messed up. And I thank God for these stories, because every time, you know, I read these things, I think, well, at least I haven't done that. Or at least my father never did that. And I really thank the Lord for my family and my upbringing and the way things happen in my life. And